This is Steve Braswell, and welcome to my podcast. I'm so glad you're joining me today. We're in the midst of a series that I'm calling Five Ways God Wants Us to Look. Five different directions that God wants us to look. First was look up. We worship God. That's where it starts. Second, look down. We dig into God's Word. Then third, look out. We care for each other. Today, we come to look in. We grow in our faith in Christ. So look inside. Look within. That might not sound right to you at first. Aren't we supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, as we read in Hebrews 12:2? Well, that's true, but the Bible also says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5. And then grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And how can you know you're growing unless you look to test your growth? Have you ever read or studied through Romans? It's probably the most doctrinally full and theologically packed book in the Bible. Chapters 1 through 11 of Romans deal with doctrines such as total depravity, justification, sanctification, and election. Then, after all of that, Paul pivots in chapter 12, verse 1, and says, therefore, based on all that has gone before, therefore, and leads us into practical matters in chapters 12 through 15 that show us how believing the doctrine of chapters 1 through 11 should change our everyday relationships. So, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 of Romans is a reminder that the new life in Christ is about being totally committed to Jesus Christ and how we can look in to see if that's true. So, listen to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, these two verses are packed, but I want to unpack them for you by looking at four truths about inward spiritual renewal. We're talking about looking in to make sure that we're growing in our faith in Christ. So what are four truths about inward spiritual renewal from these verses? First, the basis of renewal. Verse 1, in view of God's mercy. People today tend to shy away from commitment of any kind. They'll show up one time, but they won't commit anymore. Maybe they've been burned before when they made a commitment, and then someone manipulated them or kept on requiring more and more than the original commitment called for. But you cannot be a Christian without commitment. Committing yourself to Christ is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. But is this a commitment worth making? Paul says yes. He appeals to you on the basis of the mercies of God. Let me just give you one example from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a difference between justice, grace, and mercy. Justice is getting what you deserve. I do not ask that from God because I know what I deserve. I deserve God's judgment. I deserve God's condemnation. I don't really want justice. Grace is getting something good you don't deserve, which of course God offers us in His Son Jesus Christ. But mercy is a little different from grace. Mercy is not getting something bad that you do deserve. God's mercies are so rich. What we deserve is God's wrath, but what we get in Jesus Christ is God's mercy. The more you understand what God has done for you, the greater your commitment to Him should be. It's a simple thing. God has been so merciful to me. I deserve so much, bad. God in His grace has given me so much good just in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so how should I respond to that? Well, that's the very basis of renewal or change, spiritual change in my life, is in view of God's mercy. Second characteristic, truth about inward spiritual renewal, is the character of renewal. Verse 1, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Notice two things he says about this sacrifice. First, it is total and complete. We see this in the language of sacrifice. You don't offer half an animal as a sacrifice. If the animal is sacrificed, it includes every part. But notice the twist Paul puts on this. He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrifices by definition are dead, right? Not these. We offer ourselves fully to God, just as fully as any sacrifice, but it doesn't kill us. In fact, it shows us the way to true life, eternal life, a new quality of life that Jesus tells us about in the Gospel of John. Are you afraid of commitment? Afraid of what you'll have to give up? Afraid that you'll lose your life and in so doing lose your happiness? Jesus says you're looking at life the wrong way. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 9:23-25. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose or forfeit your own soul in the process? What do you give the person who has everything? Maybe you've struggled sometime with finding the right birthday present for someone who already has anything you could imagine. Well, think about that. Take that to the greatest level. God. God has everything. God is God. God doesn't need anything from us. And yet, what do we give God? What should we give the God who has everything? We should give ourselves totally and completely a living sacrifice to God. Do you know how many American adults identify themselves as Christians? There are, of course, different polls and different results, but one poll showed in 1990, 85% of American adults identified as Christians. 2012, 78%. Today, 65%. See what those numbers are doing? They're dropping. But just think how different our country would be if just half of those who had a commitment to Jesus Christ, their sacrifice was total and complete. Just think what a difference that would make. So, our sacrifice needs to be total and complete, but also it is reasonable and logical, Paul says. The TNIV says, this is true worship. Other translations have, your reasonable service. The Greek word in question is the word logikos, from which we get the English word logical. This word teaches us that responding to God's mercy by presenting ourselves to God just makes good sense. It is the reasonable and logical response to God's great mercies. Okay. The third truth about inward spiritual renewal, the demands of renewal. We don't like being demanded. We don't like that word demands. But yes, inward spiritual renewal has its demands. First negative and then positive. Negatively, do not conform to the pattern of this world. There's much more than just choosing some of the world's activities from which to refrain. It's not allowing yourself to be squeezed into this world's mold. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it this way. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Now you think about that. Becoming so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. I think that happens to all of us. It's kind of natural. We get used to doing what everybody else is doing what is comfortable to us. And before we know it, we're not even, as Christians, critiquing our values and our beliefs when we should be. Otherwise, we are conforming to the pattern of this world. Paul says, don't do that. The world, now, when he talks about the world, he's not talking about the globe, the earth, but this world system in which we live, operates under the assumption that there is no God. And all there is to reality is what we can see right now. Now, if that's true, then Christian values are out the window. We have to constantly fight against believing that lie. So negatively, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Positively, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This transformation is a metamorphosis, a gradual process like the one that makes the caterpillar into the butterfly. This process is described in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul says, in contrast to Moses' veiled face, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So how are we transformed? According to that verse, we focus on the glory of the Lord. Where do we see the glory of the Lord? Well, we see it in God's Word. And we focus on that. We read our Bibles not just to learn facts, not just to find great stories, but we look for the glory of the Lord. And then as we focus on that, we are changed little by little into that same image. Many years ago, when I was a teenager, somebody gave me a button, and on the button were these letters, PBPGINFWMY. I don't have this memorized, so I have to read that to you. And if you looked at that group of letters, what does this mean? And that was the point, to see the button and see the letters. And somebody asked, what does that mean? And it's the first letters of these words, this statement, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. It's true for all of us. We all, you know, the best Christians that I have known, and I've known some wonderful Christians, all still just human, still failures, still sinners. It's true of me. It's true of you. So yet, here's the point. I'm still gradually being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That process is not complete yet. It won't be complete in this life. But it's still, don't let the fact that you're still a sinner and the process is incomplete keep you from seeing the progress that God has made in your life. You are not what you used to be. You're not what you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. God is gradually transforming you by the renewing of your mind. That's part of that inward spiritual renewal. All right, then the fourth, the last characteristic of inward spiritual renewal, the effect of renewal. Verse 2, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the way to know the will of God, to be totally committed to doing it. As Mark Twain once said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts I do understand. There's so much of the Bible that is clear, and it's clear enough to us to know that we don't want to follow it in our life. We have that desire to disobey God, to sin. We can't make this deal with God. Show me your will, and then I'll get back with you and let you know if I want to do it or not. We shouldn't forget with whom we're dealing. God is God, and we are his creatures. What about you? Are you growing in your hunger to know God and to do his will? Growing more tender toward others and more ready to forgive? Growing in your commitment to missions and to service? Growing in the ways that you sacrificially give to God? Growing in your love for Christ? Someone once said, worldliness is whatever cools my love for Christ. You know, in the old days, we were given a list of things by the church, many churches. This is worldliness, you know. If you do this, that, or the other bad thing, or if you don't do this or the other. Well, some of those things have their place, but even good things, if they cool my love for Christ, become part of this world and really become my enemy, because they're keeping me from becoming who God wants me to be. Even in our human relationships, there are different levels of commitment. For example, my relationship to my wife, Joy. I can be true to her by not ever having sex with another person, but have very little relationship with her if I don't enjoy talking to her or listening to her. Sometimes I wonder about the level of our commitment to Christ. Just showing up at church is a good start, but there's so much more to having a vibrant relationship with Christ every day. There's more work for all of us to do, more room to grow in our commitment to Christ. Question is, are you growing? Take a good, long, hard look at yourself. Are you growing in your faith in Christ? Or is it just something you signed up for in the past? Maybe you remember a time when you were growing, but your growth now has stopped and been stunted. Listen to God's word. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercies. Present your bodies and your whole selves to God. Don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but allow God gradually to change the way you look at life. And in so doing, you'll grow in your understanding of God and His will and in your desire to be totally committed to Christ and to give God all the glory. So this week, what direction does God want you to look? Look in. We grow in our faith in Christ. Next week, we'll look at the fifth and final way God wants us to look. Look around. We share Jesus' love in the world. Thanks so much for joining me today, and look forward to you being with me again next week.